Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. During this first week of the new year, I like to go back and kind of organize things. So I've been filing away sermons from the last several weeks. And as I did so, it occurred to me that I've preached a lot of sermons over the years. And though over the years my sermon style has changed, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again for our justification, over the years that hasn't changed. And hopefully that message has gotten clearer and more sharply in focus as I've learned to preach. Every day when I put on this seminary ring, I'm reminded there's an inscription inside. And the inscription is the words of the Greeks to Philip out of John 12:21. And it says this: we would see Jesus. Now, those words remind me that, like those Greeks asked of Philip, it's important that I remember that it's Jesus that needs to be heard from through what I say, and not me. It wasn't Philip that the Greeks wanted to hear from, and it's not me that you need to hear from. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, and his words are what we all need to hear and learn from. We would see Jesus. Are words that help us all to remember, to get out of the way, so to speak, so that Jesus can be seen by how we all, each of us, how we all live and speak. We want to point others to him, not to ourselves. We want his light to shine, not our own. Now, I understand that on the coast of Ireland someplace, that there are these twin lighthouses. They're about 500 feet apart, and they're on opposite sides of an estuary. There's a powerful light in one of the lighthouses, but the other lighthouse only has prisms and mirrors in it that reflect the light from the first lighthouse. But when you look at them from a distance, they both seem to shine. In a similar way, God's great love in Jesus Christ can be reflected through our lives to others because his great love has first been poured into you and I. Now, in the coming year, our pointing to Jesus, our reflecting his light and his love, is going to be important. It's going to be important for those that we meet day by day. In the year to come, others need to see in us. They need to see in us by how we live, by how we act, by how we speak. They need to understand that the hope God gives them through Jesus Christ is for them because of his love for them. Now, they'll only be able to see that light of Christ through the hope in Jesus Christ that you express, that you share with them through the words and the actions of your life. Now, also in the coming year are some words from the gospel reading today and also from the Christmas Eve gospel lesson to bear in mind. I've got a friend who says that reading today's gospel reading is kind of like a soap opera in one sense. And that's because just a few days ago, we were seeing Jesus as this tiny infant baby, newborn. And now we're talking about him as a 12-year-old boy. Now, that kind of time compression is something that we're used to seeing on television shows and that kind of stuff and reading in stories. But the words about Mary from today's lesson are this: and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And then from the Christmas Eve lesson, we're told this: Mary pondered all of these things in her heart. Now, how those words are important for us in the coming year is this. We are going to be spending much of our time in the Gospel of Luke for the coming year. And such words as these have led many scholars to believe and understand that Mary herself is the source of much of the material that Luke used when writing his gospel lesson. And his gospel account is written from the perspective of someone who is speaking to a Greek-thinking audience. Now, we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit today. You and I, we are Greek-type thinkers. Not so much Hebrew-type, but Greek-type. So our time in this gospel lesson can only help us to aid us as we also seek to, as we said before, reflect the light of Christ into the lives of our fellow Greek-type thinkers, our friends, our neighbors, our families, much like Philip did with those Greek friends of his. Also, I said earlier that my sermons have changed, but the Word of God has not changed. God's Word will change you, but it never changes. I bring this up today because in the gospel lesson, we hear the boy Jesus speaking the Word of God in the temple. We hear Jesus at 12 years old confounding the elders, the wise gray heads that were sitting there with him. His words, even at that age, carried with them the authority and the truth that was recognized by those old heads as words that reflected the true light of Scripture. Again, although my sermons have changed, Jesus' word never changes. And the world around us, you and I, needs to hear his word today as clearly as they heard it that day in the temple. This boy that they see is the infinite God in a finite child. And his word alone is what purifies and renews and makes whole that which was broken down and rotted through thoroughly by sin. In other words, his word alone is what cleanses us. Now, some of you know this guy. There we go. That's Michael W. Smith. And he's a Christian musician. I've had the fortune of having lunch and dinner with him. He's a really nice guy, wonderful guy. But he wrote a song many years ago, and the song has these lyrics in it. Is there any way to unlearn that carnal knowledge that keeps chipping away at my soul? Good words. That carnal knowledge that Smitty speaks of is what works to break us, to soil us, to dirty us from the day that we're born. We have carnal knowledge, knowledge that tries to limit us to only what our bodies desire or need, to try to confine us to the sensual, which chips away and grinds us down and pummels us under its unrelenting attack. But in our spirits, made alive through the new birth in our baptism, in our spirits we desire for there to be purity where we have not had it before. Now, we want to think, it would be nice to think, that we were once so innocent. We want to think that we were like Jesus as we see him standing here before the wise men of the temple in the gospel lesson today. But we were never that pure. We were never innocent. We were never clean. Unlike him, we have always had the sinful nature of defiled carnality within us, even from birth. We've just grown more sophisticated in how we use it and how we hide it and how we adapt to it. That's because we're lost in our sin. We're like the village idiot who people kept stopping on the street and asking him to pick between a nickel and a dime to see which was worth more. He would always pick the larger coin, the nickel. And people would walk away and say, "Look, see what an idiot? He took the nickel." But later in life, the idiot said that if he had started picking out the dimes, people would stop giving him money. He had found a way to adapt. He had found a way to hide. And that's what we have done. We've found ways to hide our sin, to adapt our carnal knowledge to our surroundings so that we think we can get away with what we think we want in this dark world that we live in. It is only the purity of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us of that. We can never scrub away the rot and filth that our carnal knowledge has attached to us through its unrelenting attacks and our giving in to it. One of those ways that we give in to it that's so easy for me is just one more. Just one more this. Just one more that. What is it for you that chips away? What is it for you that is that thing that you give in to? We can never, through our own efforts, bring ourselves to the light and the purity that we long for. That purity is what we see in the gospel lesson today. In Jesus giving his answers that are full of what? Wisdom and understanding. And notice that it isn't only to the elders that Jesus speaks. In fact, Jesus' first recorded words are found here in today's lesson. And those words are to his parents. And notice that his questions to his parents make a reference to the God of heaven being his Father. These first words from Jesus' lips are a testament to his being the Son of God. Those words are an affirmation of Jesus as the incarnation, that is, of his being fully man and fully God. Now, again, in our Sunday school class, we're talking about why Christianity is the religion that it is compared to other religions. And of the many false teachings and heresies and attacks that surround Jesus from the earliest days down to today, is that Jesus just simply was a man who somehow was sort of blessed by God. Well, that heresy, the lie to that heresy, is exposed and defeated by these words from Jesus today. Again, Jesus is speaking words of purity and light to both his parents and to the elders and the teachers. And we long for that light and purity. We long for that for ourselves. Again, it is not, nor has it ever been, within us to do or to accomplish that on our own. And that's what drives us to need what Jesus offers. He gives us that purity as a gift through his willing and chosen sacrifice for us. You and I cannot imagine what it was like for Jesus to live in human flesh as he did. He gave up his divine prerogatives and his holy place in heaven to live among us who struggle in the dark with our carnal knowledge that we live with. He was surrounded by us here on earth, and yet he remained free of sin's stain. Though he bore the weight of all of our sin, he did so without ever sinning himself. He never succumbed to the temptation of sin and its power that chips away at our souls. To live as he did, bound up in human flesh, and yet be pure God and wholly divine, it's not something that we can grasp. He lived and was worshipped in heaven. He lived and was worshipped in heaven as the eternal Son of God, and yet he chose to set all of that aside, to live with us inside of time and space. He was the infinite God in a finite child. He who created time and space now lived as this son of Joseph and Mary within the confines of flesh and blood, the very flesh and blood that he designed and brought into being. This boy that we see standing in the temple this morning was the God of the universe who had to live within the constraints of the day by day and the moment by moment lives that we all live. He was the limitless power that created and sustains the world and the universe, who now lived in the mundane and the limited confines of both time and space. And so he patiently beyond our understanding, he patiently answered the elders' questions. And he who appeared as a child was, in fact, answering questions that to him would have been childlike. These elders, these wise sages, were asking the God of the universe things that to them were profound. And yet Jesus, in his divinely infinite patience, answered them all and appeared to them, to their old eyes, only as just a precocious child. They couldn't grasp that this child standing before them was indeed older than all of them, infinitely more so, because it was he that created the time in which they and we all live. He created time and life and light. And as we said before, it's his light that we desire to have shine through our lives in this, our time. God chose to confine himself to live as we do in the child Jesus and to give us his new life, won by the work of the man Jesus on the cross. Remember that it was the condemned Jesus. Remember what it was that condemned Jesus to death by the religious leaders of his day. It was very much like the words that he speaks to his parents today. He makes it known, he makes it clear to his parents that he is the Son of God. His words, his first recorded words, as well as the words that condemn him, form a sort of frame or bookends, if you will, for all that we're going to be reading in the Gospel of Luke about Jesus' life and ministry this year. The words today, "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" And the words later in Luke 22:7-71, they all ask, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying that I am." Those lips that spoke both things which condemned him to death are the lips, the same lips that speak life and peace to us. They speak his holy light and life into our lives. Our baptismal life that we have is his new life in us by his word alone. And that is what we long for others to know also. His word never changes, nor does it leave us in the darkness of our own carnality. We have in his word the life and light living in us, through His power poured out on us in our baptism. So let's live this new year. Let's live this new year shining out His light to others, so that they also can stand in wonder with the elders at Jesus, the infinite God in a finite child, in Him whose name is our light, our life, and our peace, we pray. Amen.